May be seated. Before we get too settled today, I'd like to make sure that if you don't have a service booklet today, that you make sure you have one. In fact, ushers, do you have a few more? We got them all. You got them all. That's good. We're going to need it. We're going to refer to it in a little while. Contrary to what your bulletin is saying today, according to the bulletin, Father David Paisinger is doing the homily, and I am not him. For all of our visitors, welcome. We are so glad that you are here, and especially to the family of Noah Harlow. We are so excited for this day, and we stand with Casey and Meredith as they commit their child under the service of baptism to be brought up in a home that will honor God. We stand with them as their church family. We are so blessed to have them among us and to walk with them in this journey. And I would certainly be remiss if I didn't give a shout out to Brent and Diane Brown, who are visiting with us today. Brent, some of y'all may or may not know this. Brent has stayed connected with us. Every now and then he'll still show up at Tuesday morning prayer and keeps the faith with the brothers and keeps us honest and keeps us laughing. No one can read a psalm like Brent Brown, I just got to tell you. Not anybody that I've ever heard read one, because there's just a whole bunch of things going on when it comes out of his mouth, I'll tell you. In the good old King James Version. Amen and amen. Well, it just so happens that the schedule that Father David graciously allows the other priest and clergy in the house to bring forth the word, it was my turn, so you get me just by luck or not. It all depends. You let me know afterwards. But it just so happens that we are in the middle of church-wide Bible study by Max Lucado called Fearless. And we had tried to commit in our sermon times that we were going to focus on that Bible study, because this is an experience that we are all partaking together at the same time. It's been, for those of us who have been involved, and I know it's over 80% of us sitting in this room today have been participating. That is a huge number. The Rector's Council is so excited that so many have committed to have this shared experience of learning what it means to walk a fearless life. And so we wanted to focus our sermons on that as well. But we also have the last Sunday before Advent. We have the baptism of Noah today. And so generally when you have a baptism, that's what you focus your sermon on. But then we got one more thing happening. Today is the feast of Christ the King. That's why we're in white for that. We're in that white for the baptism. So we got a whole lot of things going on. And at the same time, because there's a whole lot of things going on, you have to try when you can to choose one or the other. But as God would ordain it, I believe I got them all three in one. So you let me know. First, we're going to talk about the Feast of Christ the King. The Feast of Christ the King actually was instituted by Pope Pius XI in 1925 as a feast of the church. And it came at a time when the church was in disarray within its impact in the world. The church was not having the impact in the world that the Pope felt that it should be influencing the world, rather the world was influencing the church. And so in his words, he connected the denial of Christ as king to the rise of secularism. Secularism was rising, and many Christians, including professing Catholics, began to doubt Christ's authority and existence, as well as the church's power to continue Christ's authority. Pope Pius XI and the rest of the Christian world witnessed the rise of dictatorships in Europe, saw Catholics being taken in by these earthly leaders, The Feast of Christ the King was instituted during a time when respect for Christ and the church was waning. The feast was most needed. And then the article I had on this gave this last little line. In fact, it is still needed today, as these problems have not really vanished, but in some parts have worsened. Does that not describe where we are today? Deacon Tom Abbott gave us a message two Sundays ago talking about the rise of world secular, easy for you to say. Yep, that word, you know what I'm talking about. Where men look to themselves for answers rather than to God. And the heart of the church in forming this feast day was to make sure we focused that Christ was King and Lord of all. That's what the focus of today is. Now, that just sounds like, oh, a nice little holiday. But not really. Because when your focus is Christ is King and Lord of all, hold up everything or anything going on in your life and put it under that template and see if it doesn't change. Christ is King and Lord of all. Casey and Meredith are putting Noah under that template today in the service of baptism. They are bringing forth their child, which they know that God has blessed them with. Noah's not an accident. Noah was ordained by God to be brought into this world by Casey and Meredith. It was by God's hand that he came forth. It was by God's breath that he has life. And I praise God that his parents recognize the fact that although they are his earthly parents, he has a heavenly Father who loves him and cares for him more than they ever will. But I guarantee you right now, if you ask Meredith, did you ever know this kind of love could exist? She would say no. And if you ask Casey the same question, those of us who have been blessed to be parents, we know that. We recognize that. We feel that. You cannot fathom a love. You think you have love in your relationship with your husband or your wife, because it's a love that you've never experienced before. You think you have it. And then along comes this child, this baby that God blesses you with. And you see not only yourself, but you see your spouse. And you see the mystery of marriage, two becoming one in this child that you're holding. And you don't believe you could ever feel that type of love again. There's no room in my heart for any more love. Until if by chance you're blessed with a second or a third. And you know that that what happens is it's the same love, yet it's a different love, but all of a sudden your heart has more love. I wonder if that is how God looks at us. I wonder if His heart just expands and expands and expands with love and grace and mercy and favor as more and more. We know how immeasurable God's love is. Well, not we can't really know it because it's immeasurable. But that is the description that of the love of God that He has for us. It is in God's heart that all men would be saved, that all men would walk into their earthly reward. So on this feast day, Christ the King, as we as a church recognize that God is our head, Jesus is Lord, Christ is the King. And as this day, as we celebrate the baptism of another child coming into the covenant relationship of the church of God under the kingdom of God. And yes, in the midst of grief, we celebrate the passing of a saint among us who is in heaven right now before that throne saying yes and amen to all of the promises of God. We have a unique window today, church. A very unique window. We get to observe one entering into that covenant and celebrate one receiving the end of that covenant. What a unique window. In God's time, in the timing of God, there must have been a reason for today. I don't know it. I doubt any of us will know it. God knows it. But there is a unique opportunity for us as a church body. Nothing happens by accident. God wants us to get something out of this moment in time. God has you here. No matter what brought you here today. No matter if it was the Thanksgiving holiday and you're visiting family. No matter if it was you just woke up and said, hey, I want to go to Church of Messiah today. Or no matter if it's because someone in your family planned a service at the church and you want to be there. To be at the service, not necessarily at the church. It wasn't an accident. God has a hand in this. God has something that He's doing. Why do I know that? Because He is King and Lord of all. He is King and Lord of all of everything that happens in our lives and in other people's lives. Let me show you something about Christ the King. Turn with me, if you have your Bibles. I'm going to be reading out of the NIV, but I'm going to go to the book of Revelations. Because in the book of Revelations, throughout Scripture is many, many pictures of Jesus, this King of Kings and Lord of Lords that we serve. But one of my favorite ones is in the book of Revelations. And I'm going to start in chapter 19. Verse 11. This is, for those who may not be familiar with the book, this was a writing from John, the Apostle John, as God opened a vision to him of heaven. And he saw all kinds of things going on. Mankind is still trying to figure out what this book has said. And we don't get it yet. We get bits and pieces of it. But in chapter, in Revelations 19, starting with verse 11, this is what John saw. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider was called Faithful and True. Stop right there. Faithful and True. There's not many areas in my life I can call faithful and true, meaning faithful all the time, true all the time. But I can call my God faithful and true. And John saw this, faithful and true. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven are following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God. On his robe and on his thigh, he has his name, this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. No one, nothing, no kingdom, no power, no authority is over him. He is over all. King of Kings, Lord of Lords. What an incredible vision of this God that we serve. What an incredible understanding of the awesomeness of his power, how far reaching his kingdom is over all. And yet, he knows our name. And yet, he numbers the very hairs on our head. I don't know about you, but my mind cannot fathom that. I can talk about it. I know the scripture says it. I'll preach it. But I really, honestly, I can't comprehend that. I can't really get my arms and my mind completely around the fact that every breath I take, every word that comes out of my mouth, every step, every movement, every thought is under his dominion. It's under his kingdom. It's under his blessing when I'm in his family. I can't get that. I try. The days I get it better than the days I don't get it, I have better days. Because I begin to realize it's not about me. It's about him. It's about his great love. It's about his faithfulness. It's about his mercy. It's about his truth, which is never ending and never failing. Oh, church, if we could really grab hold of that, if we could really grab hold of the fact that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords and what that really means, and if we could really grab hold of the fact that he has entrusted this, he's entrusted us with the gospel, the good news, the light of the world on this earth, that we are part of his kingdom now, not later, now. That's what Casey and Meredith are going to do with Noah today. They're going to bring him forth. And they are going to say, we want our child to be raised in this family. We want our child to be raised in this kingdom. We want our child to have the authority of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords over his life. And then Father David is going to do something that is absolutely my favorite part of the baptismal service. After everything is said and done, the very last thing Father David will do sacramentally is he's going to take holy oil, he's going to put it on his thumb, and he is going to put the sign of the cross on Noah's forehead, on his mind, on his headship. He is going to put the sign of the cross and he's going to say these words. He's going to say, Noah, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. Oh my goodness, church. Christ's own forever. Forever's a long time. It's a big word. I don't know about you, but I've had a couple of forevers that have broke my heart in my lifetime. I thought this was going to happen forever, and it didn't. I thought I was going to have this job forever, and I didn't. I thought I was going to be in this relationship forever, and I haven't. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your forever is that you've been broken. But if you've been baptized into the body of Christ, as Noah's going to be done today,